Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into the Anointed Thoughts Show, the show that's bringing you everyday topics from the Christian perspective right here on Anointed Sounds Radio. That's www.anointedsounds.com. Bring you the hits and much, much more. We have a great show today. As you noticed that this month we've been showcasing our Christian artists, so you know who we have out there writing for the kingdom. We'd like to welcome to our show today Mr. Kevin Wayne Johnson. How you doing, Mr. Johnson?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon. God bless you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Mr. Johnson is a phenomenal writer for the kingdom. I tell you, I've been reading up on your book, your role in the family, and it really touched me because with me being a mother, this is something I definitely need to know. And also with your references, not only did you write about things, it wasn't just opinionated, it also had references from the Bible. And can you tell me why is it very important to do that as a writer?
Well, it's very important because we're Christian communicators. So I'm writing in addition to speaking and everything else that I'm doing. It has to be based upon God's word because, in essence, we are communicating God's message to all of the people that we come in contact with. So, for example, we write articles for magazines and newspapers. We write a book series. We have an e-newsletter that comes directly to people's email addresses on the 1st and 15th of the month. And I'm also a speaker and a teacher. So as I'm communicating God's word, I have to be very careful to make sure that my audience understands that it's coming from His word, not just words that I'm making up on my own.
Amen. And you said you were a communicator and you have this series. So give God the glory. Is that your book series? And if so, can you tell us how you came about giving God the glory, the name, the title of the series?
That is the book series. It all began back in the summer of 2000. I was in a class when I was still working in Midtown Manhattan, New York, and the gentleman that finished the class that had nothing to do with books, but at the end of the class, he challenged everyone that was there in that particular classroom that if we had a desire to write a book, then to go ahead and get started on the manuscript and finish it within 6 months, and he would use his influence to help us to get published. And that's pretty much what it took, and the Lord led me to write the very first book in the series, Give God the Glory. It was just a one-time assignment. I finished the assignment within 12 months, and the book was picked up for national distribution about 3 months after that. And from there, as the book began to sell and as I began to reach a pretty nice-sized audience here in the USA, the Lord just led me in my heart to write the series, which would address a number of other areas, not only giving God the glory through personal relationships, but how do we give God the glory while we're at work, in the workplace, and how do we give God the glory within our family, because the family is an ordained institution. If you look around us and you see all of the current attacks on the family, that's not by happenstance or circumstance. That godly ordained institution is under big time attack right now as we speak. And how do we give God the glory in the local church? And then last, Sister Elena, how do we give God the glory even while we're at rest and relaxation? So hence, the 9-book series has just developed and blossomed to the point now where we have actually released 5 of the 9 books. And we have our first study guide coming out Labor Day weekend this year, 2008, okay. Actually on September the 2nd. So that's what the Lord has done from just one book that began back in 2000, 2001, and where we are today and how the message has mushroomed and how it's gone international as well.
That is awesome. And kind of expounding upon your book, your role in the family, I see that you broke it down as the role of the man and the role of the woman as well as the children. Why was it so important to put a book like this out for the body of Christ?
Because we each have a role. If you think of a team, I oftentimes use the analogy of a team sport. There is no I in the word team. So, you know, we don't have time for superstars or for somebody being better than another person. It's all about how we gel together as a family unit. So the man, as husband and father, has a specific role, and it's all spelled out in the Word, both Old Testament and New. The woman, as mother and wife, has a specific role. And the children, when they're young, their role is to obey, and then as they get older, their role is to honor. And it's very clear, it's very laid out, it's actually a very systematic plan that God has in terms of how we're supposed to function within that family unit. All of the protection, all the provisions, and all the promises that he has for us are captured within that family unit. And so we took the time out to, first of all, address it in the godly family life. Most of the book is geared toward the role of the man, but quite a bit of it is geared towards the role of the woman. And then in the subsequent book, which is more of a devotional, more of a gift book, as you will, it's about 60 pages long, and it breaks it down even further based upon specific scripture in both Old Testament and New Testament, what God is speaking to us relative to our role in our family. And even on the cover of the book, there's a picture of a man and a woman and a boy and a girl all holding hands as a sign of unity, because that's the message we're trying to articulate even before our readers open up to the very first page. So, and it's also...
I'm sorry. You were saying in your book that you dedicated more towards the male, the man.
And
what
book,
was the reason?
Yeah. In book number four, which is book four and book number five are sort of companions, but the reason I addressed it a little bit more toward men is because it's a very personal book to me, and I was very, very blessed in terms of having a fantastic natural father in my life, and since I've been a Christian, developing that close, personal, intimate relationship with my heavenly father, the Lord was just speaking to me very, very clearly to relieve that burden in my heart, to make sure that other men really understood that a lot of what goes on in our household comes through us. We're the conduit of the blessings through the prayer, through the quiet time, through the meditation, through our lifestyle, through our example. A lot of that comes to us, and the word is very clear that, you know, when we have children, you know, we have children after our kind. And so, you know, men are responsible for whether or not the child is going to be male or female. I mean, there's a lot of things in the scripture that I really wanted to bring out from a man's perspective, and we were able to do that. So that's some of the reason why there's a little bit more detail in there specific to the man. But the woman's role and the role of the children are so, so vitally important as well, and we took the time out to address that also.
And also reading this book, I'm very interested in any testimonials that anyone has said about reading the book as far as with the males, because you address the men in the body of Christ, but not only just the men are in the body of Christ, those that are lost as well need to know what God's role is for their life and what their calling is. So what has some of your readers said about your book that has it might have changed or has done something within their life?
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting, I was just with one of the local churches in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a couple of weeks ago. I was their keynote speaker for the entire men's conference weekend, because they were able to extract a lot of information out of that book, The Godly Family Life. One of the big testimonials I get, Elena, is that people aren't aware of the statistics that are out there as a result of father absenteeism, and how it impacts both the son and the daughter. I extract a lot of data and statistics from a lot of different sources, and I include that in my books because I want people to really think. I want people to be critical thinkers when they read the Give God the Glory series and really understand where we are in this particular dispensation and time. And a lot of people just send back emails, or they'll see me in person, or they'll call me, and they'll just say, basically, they didn't realize that the statistics were as bad as they are, because we don't necessarily see it on the nightly news. You don't necessarily pick it up in the newspaper.
Right.
But God has been using me as a source, if you would, to relay that type of information on, and how it just devastates the household when the family unit is disjointed and out of place. It has a tremendous impact on the next generation, i.e. our children, and the subsequent generation as well. And so it's very important that people take the time out to read and understand and develop some type of a game plan based upon God's word to make a change starting in their own home. And we're prayerful that the Give God the Glory series is a catalyst to make that happen.
Now, how can this book help a family that may only have one parent in the home, a single mother or a single father, and that child does not have that other parent in the home, doesn't know the operation or the role of that parent. How would it help them?
It leads all of my readers to the Word of God, which will ultimately provide comfort, peace, and understanding of who our Heavenly Father is. So, you know, we make sure that people always understand no one is perfect and no family is perfect. But when things are happening that you can't quite understand why, and when things don't seem to be functioning very well, we always have God's Word that we can turn to give us a peace, to give us comfort, to minister to us, et cetera, to kind of keep us at ease and to teach us some things that we probably would not have otherwise known in terms of remedies in our own household. I mean, for example, I have a number of my buddies either don't have a relationship with their dad or had some type of a dysfunctional relationship with their dad. And I encourage them just basically through my lifestyle to say, hey, you know, nobody is perfect. I mean, I had a great dad, but there's other strengths and weaknesses and problems that we all have. But when it's all said and done, understand what God's Word says about any particular situation, any particular circumstance. And that's what the book series really drives all of my readers to do, is to focus on God first and foremost in their lives. Understand why we have a Savior. Understand why His name is Jesus. I mean, the word Jesus is literally synonymous with the word peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's that one thing that no matter how much money we have, you cannot buy. I mean, we can buy oil reserves, we can buy houses, we can buy businesses, we can buy real estate, but you cannot buy peace. That only comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus. So these are the things that we point to in the book series, because at any given time, any one of us are going through a particular challenge that we might not want to share with other people, but we always have the Word of God that we can go to.
Well, one of the things that a lot of listeners like to find out is being an author, because are you an independent author? Are you independently published?
Yes, I'm an independent publisher, independent author. I've chose to do it that way. This is my seventh year now in the industry. Like I said earlier, we have released 5 books, and our sixth book, our study guide, will be coming out Labor Day weekend. We have national best-selling books. I've made a number of different national best-selling lists, if you would, Booking Matters, currently with Black Christian Book Promo, et cetera. And the books have also been sold internationally. We have a good relationship with the Copyright Clearinghouse. We draw royalties from people who use the books all over the world. Great relationships with folks in the United Kingdom. We're expanding our territory now throughout Africa, Australia, New Zealand. We're a member of the Christian Trade Association International. I mean, these are all the things that God has done. I'm just the earthen vessel that He uses to do that.
Right.
But and so those are some of the reasons why I've chosen to stay independent. Yes, we have publishers who are interested. We get those phone calls on a regular basis. Yes, I do have a literary agent, but I don't really have him actively pursuing any deals for me per se. I am going to be meeting with one of the acquisition editors from one of the major Christian publishers who's interested in my writing in August at one of the Christian writers conferences that are coming up, and we'll see what's happening. But God has me content in terms of what we're doing now, who we're working with, the relationships that we have forged, the network that we have put together, not just here in the U.S., but across the globe. And we're just having a fantastic time. You know, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction in God's Word will allow us to think outside of the box and help all of our dreams to become fulfilled. I believe that more so than listening to a motivational speaker. I go to the Word of God to get that motivation, and then I encourage other people to do the same. So again, when you look at our theme and when you take a look at the vision of what we're doing, Writing for the Lord Ministries, you know, our vision is very simple: writing quality books, articles, and devotionals that glorify God and enhance the lives of our readers. And you'll always see, say again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, so as a Christian writer, do you find yourself with a little bit more leeway with being independent, because we have a lot of writers, prospective writers that call in and like to know that information. They want to know, is it better being independent as a Christian writer, as a writer at all, than versus going to a major established publishing company?
I think it really depends on your goals. You know, when you do anything, you need to figure out what are your goals. And the reason that I like being independent is because I'm in total control of everything that I do.
Okay.
I have about 7 different sources of income streams. Because I am an author, there's a lot of different things that I have ended up doing that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do if I was under contract with a major publisher. When I do my in-person appearances, when I do my speaking appearances, et cetera, and when I'm selling books at the events, I get to retain 100% of those revenues.
Okay.
because I'm the owner, you know, it's my intellectual property, et cetera. The other thing that's very important is that, of course, whenever you write a book, you copyright the book, and when you copyright the book, you want to make sure it's registered so that it's on file. And so literally what has happened over the last several years is that when people in different territories around the world use your book for whatever reason, you end up earning a copyright royalty from those people that are using your material for whatever reason. Usually it's academic reasons. And then once a year, usually right around April, May timeframe, you receive a huge royalty check from the number of people or the number of times that people have tapped into your books. Something that you might not be able to do if you were under a major publisher, because
it
probably wouldn't be copyrighted in your name.
So you think that's
these are different things to think about, depending on what your goals and objectives are, depending on how the Lord leads you, depending on how aggressive you are in terms of marketing and promotion. A lot of things sort of factor into it.
Very, very interesting. And reading a little bit more in your book, you were telling me about, the God's Family Life, and it was talking about the financial stability of a family, how we all tend to actually follow the money. I wouldn't say follow the money, but we looked at financial, paying the bills and so forth. As in your opinion, who do you think is the major, and I know that God says that the man is the breadwinner of the family, he's taking care of the family, but and I want to focus a little bit more on a single family home, because we have a lot, as we know in the United States, there are more single family homes than there are married homes, and sad to say that, but there are. So how would someone who's in a single family home, and based upon your book, be able to follow these guidelines? What do they need to do as far as, from your opinion and from your, not from your opinion, but from what God has told you in your writing?
Well, I always encourage people to, when it comes time to making decisions and solving problems, make sure we do it based upon God's Word. And one of the many things that God's Word teaches us is to make sure that as we're making different decisions in life, to surround ourselves with wise counsel. Ask questions of people who are professionals and experts in that area. So I would venture to say that the overwhelming majority of us know of somebody or somebodies who are in the financial arena as a professional. That's what they do for a living. They're a financial planner, they're a tax preparer, et cetera. I would begin to seek them out and ask them questions about good money management. For example, once a year, my wife and I, we do a huge total financial investment checkup, usually in the month of January. We do a substantial checkup. We look at everything from our investments to our retirement plan to our current income, our outgo, our insurance policies, the value of our home. We take a look at all of that with our financial planner as a means to reassure us that we're doing the right things with our money. And so we reach out to a certified financial planner who's a professional in his or her field to seek their advice and to have them to be that third-party neutral person to keep us in check. Now, whether you're married or whether you're unmarried, that's something that we can all do as opposed to trying to do it ourselves, because we didn't necessarily get the proper training in school, and to rely upon the expertise of somebody that's in that area. So that would be a great start.
And do you actually go out and speak to, do you do like workshops and speak to different churches or
all
or
the time.
Different? And can
all
you tell the
time.
Listening audience how can they get in contact with you and to seek some more information about your books as well as what you're doing? Just tell us a little bit more information about what you do as well as not only an author. We know you do many great things. God has inspired you to do many things. Just give us a little bit more information and your contact on how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, starting off in terms of point of contact, our ministry is Writing for the Lord Ministries. We're based right in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, and our website is www.writingforthelord.org. We have an interactive, comprehensive website that's loaded with video and audio and all the information about our books and the ministry, our membership. Our blog is there. Our e-newsletters are there as well. So www.writingforthelord.org. And then the email address is just my first name, Kevin, @writingforthelord.com. Those are two ways to get in touch with us. But in addition to the writing, we also do a lot of teaching. I'm on faculty now at 7 different writers' conferences here in the USA and then also in London, England. We go over to London, England once a year in October. We're one of 3 American authors that goes over to an international book fair. And I always teach about Christian publishing. And this year in particular, we're going to be partnering with a number of the local churches there in the London area and doing a lot of outreach and sharing the Give God the Glory message and teaching other aspiring writers how to get started in the Christian publishing arena. But we focus on really 4 primary workshops and seminars that can be tailored to be delivered within 2 hours or over a 3-day period, whatever that particular group wants to do. The one that I really focus on is titled From Start to Finish for the First-Time Author. And we give our participants a full view of what it means to get started in writing all the way to the point where you're finished, where you literally have a book in hand that's ready to be marketed to the masses, and everything that you need to do in between to get from beginning to end. That's my favorite, and that's the one that I teach the most. We also teach about internet marketing because the internet is just a phenomenal tool if
it's
used correctly.
Cheat tool as well.
I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, this world that we live in is so small now because people in New Zealand and Australia and all throughout Europe and the UK and Africa can reach out and touch me now within a matter of seconds.
That's why
our ministry is doing such an outreach to those particular continents because, I mean, they are literally our neighbors now with the advent of the internet. It's just remarkable. So if it's used properly and you know what to do and you know how to target your audience, it can be a tremendous tool that all of us can use. We also teach people about the 4 markets. There are 4 markets within the publishing industry. You have your wholesale market, you have your consumer market, you have your trade market, and you have your retail market. And each one of those markets has a different facet to it. And so we teach about what each of those different markets mean. The consumer market is really, to cut to the chase, you know, how do you effectively reach the folks that ultimately will be the buyers of your book? That's who your consumer is.
Okay.
And then the retail market, you know, how do you effectively reach out to the bookstores? And, you know, you see bookstores in airports. You see books being sold in Target, in Walmart, all over the place. I mean, how do you – and then we break it down by Christian bookstores, independent bookstores. We break it down by full-service bookstores like the Barnes & Noble and the Borders and the Books A Million because they all have different ways and different avenues of getting your books in there. And then the wholesale market really is dealing with the distributors. I tell people all the time that if you really want your book to be successful, i.e., get in the hands of the readers out there, you've got to have a mechanism where you can get your books into the bookstores, and that's where the distributors come in handy. And you have local distributors, you have national distributors, you have regional distributors, and you have international distributors. So it's all over the place. And then
you were mentioning that you do some things overseas, and I hear a lot of Christian artists as well as Christian authors tell me they do a lot of work overseas and how it's great for them. Can you tell me why that overseas they accept Christianity and our work and so forth overseas versus here in the United States, how we could just prosper so much in the UK, London, and so forth, but in the United States, it's kind of like a standstill.
Yeah, I think you just answered it, Elena. What we have an overabundance of everything here in the United States, and so when you have an overabundance of stuff, you tend to take it for granted. I talk to people all the time about, you know, living here in the Washington, Baltimore area. You know, millions and millions of people come to Washington, D.C. every year to take a look at the monuments, to take a look at the cherry blossoms, to visit the home of Frederick Douglass, the Smithsonian Institution, etc. But there are a number of us that live right here in the area that have never taken the time out to go down there to visit any of that stuff. Why?
Right,
because we feel we can do it any time. Most of our brothers and sisters that don't live in this country do not have the luxury of having an overabundance of anything. They have to fight literally every day to get what they can, and they are so grateful that there's a Heavenly Father that's on their side to give them grace and mercy at a time of need. And so they are more responsive. They respond better. There's more of a sense of urgency. And I just think there's much more of an appreciation because they don't have all that we have, and they respond in kind. And so, you know, most of us are very much welcome, you know, when we go down to the Caribbean or when we go over to London or wherever else in the United Kingdom, all throughout Europe, all throughout Africa. I mean, we are just welcome because there's a hunger for the Word of God because it's just not available everywhere. Here, it's available everywhere, and we just kind of take it for granted because it's here.
Every street corner, I tell everyone, there's no excuse not to be in a church. It's on every street corner of the church somewhere in the United States.
No doubt.
We're almost at the end of this interview. It's been awesome, but before we leave, I want you to tell everyone where you can purchase your book. Again, give your information of how they can get in contact with you and all that great stuff of what you do.
Okay. Well, again, the books are available everywhere books are sold. People can go to Amazon.com. All of the Give God the Glory series is there. They can come to my website, writingforthelord.org. We have our online bookstore there. Of course, you can go into any bookstore, any full-service bookstore, any Christian bookstore. If you don't see it on the shelf, all you have to do is order it, and they can get it within 2 to 3 days. And then we can also be reached at kevin@writingforthelord.com as well. And so, again, the ministry is Writing for the Lord Ministries, and we're at www.writingforthelord.org. And the email address is kevin@writingforthelord.com. Now, pretty soon, Elena, just so that your listeners would know, pretty soon we're going to be in control of both domains. So both writingforthelord.org and writingforthelord.com. Probably by the end of this month, when you go to either site, they'll both be identical, and we can be reached through either site.
Amen. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show again, ladies and gentlemen. We have Kevin Wayne Johnson on. Make sure you go to his website, writingforthelord.com. Do you have a MySpace as well? Because you know you have a lot of listeners that go to MySpace.
No, I didn't. I keep it simple. I haven't gone to MySpace.
Okay, that's fine, but definitely listeners go to Writing for the Lord because there's no other person that you should be writing for. It's for the Lord. And Kevin, I want to thank you again for taking your time out to join
thank
us
you.
Right here on the Anointed Thoughts Show, the station that's bringing you the hits and much, much more, Anointed Sounds Radio. Stay tuned for more. Elena Sanders.
Until you met my man.
Hey.
Hey, you haven't met nobody until you met my man. can walk over troubled waters and place inheritance in my hands. Yes, yes, he can walk over troubled waters, child, and place inheritance in my hands. Yes. Listen to this. Say, you haven't felt the high now until the Holy Ghost has been released. You haven't felt the high now, yes, until the Holy Ghost has been released. When the Spirit starts to move, you can't keep your seat. About my man. Oh, see, my man's got it going on. Made a blind man see. He can heal diseases with a touch, and he doesn't have an MD now. You haven't met nobody now until you met my man now.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
That's my man.
He can skate across troubled water and place inheritance in my hands. Yes, yes. So until I get to heaven, I'm gonna praise him here while I can. I'm gonna praise him, child.
I ignored you so much last night, and I just knew that I was through. 'Cause when I walked out that door, I knew 'cause everything I did
flashed before my eyes.
My commitment to your will,
saying it's goodbye,
moving hastily,
never asked why.
Now this embarrassment's keeping me up at night.
Your grace is all I need,
reminding me
how good you've been to me.
Everything I see reminds me of you, and songs I hear
make me miss you more and more.
Lord, I've slipped out from under your covering, but I